Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we hear a salutary reminder from St. James that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, I almost feel kind of out of my depth here because, you know, as a Lutheran, you know, the book of James is almost like foreign territory. You know, we love that Paul guy, you know, and so it's like an exercise for me to talk about James. It's important for us to realize, however, that although James is emphasizing our proper response to the word, that he gives to the word of the Lord Jesus all the power to save us and to enlighten us. Just a few verses before our epistle lesson begins, James says this of God: of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. So in other words, you are a believing Christian because God has given birth to you by means of his holy word. So the gospel is preached to us, and in that gospel, the Lord God is offering and delivering to us everything we need to be saved. So James is not a works monger. And then, just before our gospel, our epistle text for today, he says this: lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I love that phrase. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. So he's saying, put your sins aside and humbly receive God's word that he plants in us whenever we make use of it, when we read it and when we hear it read and when it is preached to us. He is implanting his word in us, and the living word of God is able to save our souls. So now we know that the power and the glory is all God's. So then he says to us, after he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls, he says this: be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What he's saying here is that there are people who deceive themselves. They deceive themselves into thinking that they are Christians when they are not Christians. They think that just because they show up and listen to a sermon, that automatically makes them a Christian. Especially when they add to that idea the pernicious idea that I don't have to concern myself at all with how I live my life. You know, this is a persistent abuse of the good news of Jesus Christ. That there are always going to be people who think, well, if I'm saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and my works don't count for anything, therefore, I don't have to be concerned about how I live my life. I can come to church, hear a sermon, and then go happily live in sin and break the Ten Commandments with impunity, because the forgiveness of sins gives me permission to continue in sin. And there are people that come to church and then they go their way and they continue to live in rebellion against God, in rebellion against His holy word, living in sin, doing the things that they ought not to do, and not even for one moment do they even feel bad about it. Why? Because they've deceived themselves. They thought that faith is simply a matter of nodding your head at a sermon. So he says, receive the word with meekness, but don't be just a hearer, be a doer. That is, you hear the word, you believe the word, and then you endeavor to apply that word to your life. You live like a person who believes the word. You don't hear the word and then go dive into a pool of muck. You hear the word, and by the grace of God, you endeavor to live according to that word. Not because your deeds justify you, but because you have been saved by grace. You are a child of God by the free gift of Christ. Now, what's the appropriate response to that? Sin? God forbid. He goes on. He says, listen, if any of you is a hearer of the word and not a doer, you know what that's like, he says? That's like a guy heading off to work in the morning, and he quickly glances at his face in a mirror to see that his mustache is where he left it last. Right? He quickly looks, yeah, everything's there, and then he goes off and completely forgets what he saw in the mirror. Right? That's what a hearer but not a doer is like. But then by contrast to that, he says, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. And the word in the original language, the word for looketh into, literally means to bend over and stoop to see something. That's literally what the word means. So you have, on the one hand, a casual glance, and then on the other hand, stooping over to take a really close look and to continue to look, to pay attention, to heed, to attend to the word. Whoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's one of James's words for the word of God. It is the law that sets you free, the Torah that sets you free, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, not the kind of person who nods their head and listens and then goes running back to the pig trough, right? But a doer of the work, to leave church, to leave the sermon, to leave the Lord's altar with the intention of living a godly, holy, obedient life the way a Christian ought to do. Not so that we can earn favor with God, but so that our lives will thank Him for favors received. That man shall be blessed in his deed. So then, James goes on and he says, if any man among you seems to be religious. Now that's curious. This is one of the only places in the New Testament where the word religion is used. The word religion in the language of the Bible is meant to describe the outward ceremonies and activities. So religion is you come to church, you do the liturgy, you know all the responses, you know when the gradual comes and you're there at the page, you know that after the gospel we say the creed. A person is religious, the outward trappings or the outward performance of the ceremonies of the faith. When the pastor reads the words of institution for the sacrament, you can recite them in your head because you've heard them so many times. So he says to his readers, if any man among you seems to be religious, that is, he knows how to get his way through a church service. He knows how the service goes. He knows how to put into practice the outward trappings of religion. And yet this man doesn't know how to bridle his tongue. Doesn't know how to bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This man's religion is vain. Now, what does it mean to bridle your tongue? And why is this so important to James, that he uses it as a prime example of someone who is a hearer but not a doer of the word? Well, what he has in mind is the person who is always finding fault with others. The kind of person who is always downgrading other people, censoriously criticizing and putting other people down, so that in the process, they themselves look better. We've all known people like this. It was obviously a big problem in the church that James was writing to, that maybe there were leaders in the church who thought that being a real powerful preacher was to tell everybody what rotten people they are constantly, and then put themselves forward as an example of holiness. All right? Whenever somebody decides that the way they're going to come off looking good is by making everybody else look bad, that's not bridling your tongue. All right? Preaching the law of God is not denigrating others so that you look good. Preaching the law of God always must be done fully aware that you're talking to yourself as well as to everybody else. It's necessary for all of us to hear the law, but the law must never trump the gospel. The gospel must always predominate in our preaching. If the law wins the day, everyone goes home with a bruised heart. But if the gospel wins the day, then we are refreshed and we are encouraged and we are moved to live a godly life. So he says, if any among you seems to be religious, they know all the answers, but they don't know how to control their tongue. They deceive their own heart and their religion is vain. That is, it's useless. And then he describes right religion. He says, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this. And he mentions two things. The first one, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. This is basically the second table of the law. The Ten Commandments are divided into two sections. The first three commandments are about our duty to God. And then commandments 4 through 10 are about our duty to our neighbor. All right? The first three commandments are summed up in thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the fourth through the tenth commandments are summed up by thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So here he says the right kind of religion, the undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to love your neighbor as yourself. To concern yourself with your neighbor's benefit. And then the second thing he says here is to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, have you ever gotten mud on yourself because a car drove by when you were walking someplace and they went through a puddle and you got splashed with mud? Well, that's what he's thinking about, something like that. You have to live your life in this world. You have to interact with all kinds of people. And in that, you're called to be a blessing. But, you know, sometimes you get mud spattered on you. Sometimes you get weak and you allow yourself to be influenced to things that are not according to the Word of God. And you fall into unproductive habits. And you fall into unproductive ways of thinking. And you may begin to approve the things that God's Word condemns, or condemn the things that God's Word approves of. And, you know, as we bump into people and live among people in the world, it's inevitable that we will experience these temptations. But he says the proper way to practice your religion, to be a doer of the word, is not only to love your neighbor as yourself, but also to see to it that you live a personally godly life in obedience to the word of God. All right, that's what you are called to do, to live according to the word of God. So how can we conclude this? You have been made a Christian purely by the grace of God. He has given you his eternal life, and he continues to strengthen you in this whenever God's word is in use among you and whenever the sacrament is administered. In the light of this wonderful freeing truth, it is not appropriate to live an ungodly life. It is appropriate, it is the proper response to salvation, right? To endeavor with the grace of God to live a holy life in gratitude to the Lord. Now, are we going to do that perfectly? No, we're not. But it's the endeavor. You know, on your communion cards that you fill out, you know, it says, what are the things necessary for self-examination? One, do you understand that you are a sinner and need to be saved? Number two, do you trust only in Jesus Christ for your salvation? And number three, do you intend with the help of the Holy Ghost henceforth to amend your sinful life? All of that is included in what we call repentance and faith. Right? I know that I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to be saved. But I trust in Jesus to be my Savior. And because he is my Savior, I pray that God will help me to live a better life. I don't trust in my good works. I trust in Christ. But I want to please him in the works that I do, in thanksgiving for the gift received. And that's really what James is saying here. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Be a person who endeavors with the help of the Holy Ghost to live the kind of life that is in accord with the word of God, and not to live the kind of life that gives the impression to others that you think that Jesus came into the world to give you permission to sin. Alright? And so here we consider today, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Amen.